Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue with a reading from the book of Genesis, this time chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. And pay attention to these passages because they show you what God intended in the beginning, how He created you, why He created you. And if we want to be happy because we were made by Him, He made us for happiness, we are made for union with God. Is everything in your life, the sufferings you bear, the crosses you carry, your repentance from sin, your desire to do God's will, are you walking in that path? That path will lead to life, eternal life, far beyond anything you can imagine. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all of the cattle, all the birds of the air, all the wild animals. None of them proved to be a suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. And when he brought her to the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, yet they felt no shame. Why did they feel no shame? Because they were without sin at that moment. They saw the true purpose of creation, and they saw clearly who their Creator was. Therefore, their eyes were pure and their desires were good. When he looked at his wife, he loved her. Think about this in relation to the world today. Look at God's plan here. You and I can lift our eyes and seek his face, and our desires can be purified. Our desires can work for the good for us. And we can see more clearly the evil desires and reject them. A man and a woman are intended to love one another and to give the best they have to one another. No one is ever to use another human being simply for sexual satisfaction. That is why God asks that the bond be lifelong. You never discard. You don't turn away. I know there are all kinds of complicated situations, and there are ways through that. But for today, just take a look at what God intended. Psalm 128, blessed are those who fear the Lord. And what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to put Him first. Doesn't mean to go around trembling. It means to reverence the Lord. It means to put His way and His plan first in your life. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table. That is, olive plants bear a lot of fruit and it's really good. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. That is, reverences the Lord, puts him first, seeks to conform His will, that is our own personal will, to His will. And the Lord will bless you from Zion, and you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. The Alleluia verse before the gospel, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. This word, brothers and sisters, this word that we're reading is true. It's true. And God imparts great grace to us. Great grace. And grace is God sharing himself with us, sharing his life with us. And he gives us grace to draw us into union with him if we say yes. But we can say, no, thank you, I want to do this my way. Or, well, that's one way to do it, but I don't want to do that. Or I hate the church, or the priests in the church are all corrupt. I don't want anything to do with the church. Take a look at the Lord. I know the church bears tremendous responsibility for the evils that many have experienced. I know that. I know that. But brothers and sisters, the law of God stands firm. Don't reject God. Don't reject your relationship with him because of the evil of others. Don't kill yourself. I know it's hard, and you want to. You want to turn away. You want to slam the door. You want to walk away forever. But in doing so, you walk away from the source of life. The shepherds who were to bring you life, many have failed you. But the shepherd himself will not fail you if you come to him. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. Jesus went to the district of Tyre. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. So she's pagan. And she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, this is to test her. You could be very offended and walk away. Jesus is testing her. Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. He's calling her a dog, essentially. And she replied and said to him, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps. No matter what I am, can I not benefit from the scrap of your table? When he said to her, for saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. One of the ways that we can so experience the grace of God is simply to humble ourselves in our need, to confess our weakness. But because, and for this woman, for the sake of her child, she was even willing to endure ridicule. She was a pagan, approaching this holy figure. And yet she did it for the sake of her child. God will hear your prayer. He will. He will hear your prayer. But sometimes we have to humble ourselves. Lord, I know I haven't been good. Lord, I've done this wrong. Lord, I've done that wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. I've made all kinds of mistakes. But I come to you humbly, asking you to help me. When you do that, brothers and sisters, your prayer is heard. There's a wonderful sister who died in the 1970s, Sister Emiliana Lohr, and she's quoted in Magnificat magazine. And this is what she says about this situation. Every Christian is called to confessio of one sort or another. And the program set out before the baptismal candidate once more at the beginning of Lent finds vivid expression in the Canaanite woman. The early medieval miniatures of this event in the gospel give us a deeper insight into its meaning. The woman casting herself down before Christ, stretching out her hand to him full of deep faith. The woman came up and fell at his feet. She lowers herself as far as she can. A heathen, she recognizes and confesses her inferiority to the chosen Jews. She recognizes this ordering of God's grace without a murmur, although she suffers discrimination thereby. But she just acknowledges it. I know I'm not worthy. She does not try to force her way in upon the other's right to grace, nor does she stand on the rights natural to all people or the natural advantages of the heathen. She sees only God, who sent his Messiah first of all to the Jews and herself, with her hope nonetheless to share in that salvation. Her hope is not grounded on the belief that she can beg any contribution to it, but simply her faith in the all-embracing agape of God. Her humility and faith are lovely to see. Lovely to see. True confessio and pulchritudo before God's face. She's beautiful, and she confesses. She lowers herself as far as she can. She falls at his feet. And she doesn't try to justify herself. She doesn't try to force her way in. She just acknowledges who she is, and she acknowledges her need. And Jesus says, woman, your faith is great. Here she's a heathen. Your faith is great. You're putting faith in me, and many of the chosen people won't believe me. Your faith is great. Let it be as you would have it. The poverty itself, which casts itself upon this love of God, wins a share in its riches. And the woman who thus gave herself completely finds fulfillment for her wishes. Let it be as you would have it. Sometimes when things go very wrong, we cry out in anger and bitterness. What kind of God are you that you let this happen? What kind of God could there ever be to look upon this plight of this person and ignore it? He's not ignoring it. He's looking to you. He's looking to you to come to the aid of others. He works his work of salvation through others. If we come to him in faith, he will show us what he wants of us. He will supply everything we need. When you see things that are wrong, don't immediately turn against God. When you see things that are wrong, go to the Lord and say, Lord, what part can I play here to heal? It may be a part of prayer. I may actually be able to do something materially, physically, personally. Go to the Lord. I hear so many people say, oh, there couldn't be a God that this is happening and that's happening. Yes, hard things are happening, very hard. But how many Christians are saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, available. Rather than cursing God. Brothers and sisters, we need not just to go through life without thinking. We need to think. We really do need to seek the face of God. We need to ask God, help me to participate in your work of salvation. Show me what you want of me. And again, it may be in prayer, but it may be in certain actions. It may be in activities. I was just struck by a group of people who went to Haiti last week and said, my goodness, we can do a lot. Come on, brothers and sisters. Stop blaming God. Take a look at the part we're called to play. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.